Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole chapter. We're not going to look at the whole chapter, but I'm going to read the whole chapter, 17 verses. But it says in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And now, Father, we do thank you for the word of God, and I just pray you'd help me to say something tonight that would be a blessing and be a help. And Lord, in the short time that we have, just pray you do something and use it. Remind us of what we need to know. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now, obviously this is a pivotal chapter in the Bible when it comes to things that are going to happen, the revealing of Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet and all the things that happened in the book of Revelation. This is one of the pivotal chapters in the Bible that discusses that and talks about it. And there's a lot of things there to be said and a lot of important things about this chapter and how it should be interpreted and understood. But I'm going to set that aside tonight, because that when this time comes, there are some instructions here that we are supposed to pay attention to. There's a lot of information here. There's information that will come, that is there by the basis of to figure out what's going to take place before the Antichrist is revealed. And you know, everybody's got different ideas about the rapture and the Antichrist and all that type of stuff where it comes, you know. And so we can argue forever on that. But if you think, if you believe that time is coming, right? By the way, I've preached on this many times, and I've been very clear on what I think. Very clear that we believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. We believe in a premillennial return of Christ to this earth, bodily, visibly. And we believe these things, and I believe the Scripture bears it out. I believe this passage of Scripture bears it out very clearly. So if you just simply take it literally. And so the point being is, as we read that, there's always this focus on, all right, when's the Antichrist going to come? Is the church going to go out before he comes? Is what's going to happen? What's going to happen? This and so we're going to, we obviously focus on that. But he said this, first of all. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Alright, so, the first thing he said was, don't be shaken in your mind. As you see this time approaching, and as it seems to be getting closer, these folks had events happening that made them look, just like we look at the events happening in our time and say, man, it's got to be close. But they look at those events in their time and they were worried. And then they had teachers and people that came in and taught them different things. And just like it is now, there was then, there was different people that taught false doctrines that twisted the Word of God. There were some that Paul talked about who overthrew the faith of some, said the resurrection was past already, right? We read about that, and Paul had to rebuke people about that. But he said, don't be shaken, and soon shaken in mind or troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be shaking in your mind. Don't get yourself in a tizzy over this. And then, the second instruction he gave us was, let no man deceive you by any means. So that means whoever preaches, whether it's me or anybody else, you better study your Bible and don't let yourself be deceived. Do not do that. So don't be shaken up. Don't be all worried and fretting and everything like that. And don't be troubled. And don't let not any man deceive you. That's very important. So therein is something that we need to look at. Now, if you look at what's happening in the world today, there are a heap of people that are troubled and shaken in their minds. You know, half the people that ought to be awake are asleep, and the other half that act like they're awake, they're really asleep because they don't know what they're talking about. And it just gets crazy, and every year somebody comes out and tries to be the one to be able to figure it all out and get it all down and tell everybody what the truth is, and the Bible has the truth right there. All right. When he says no man knows the day or the hour, no man knows the day or the hour. That's it. Now we can argue about the sequence of things, but regardless of whether you believe the same sequence of events that I do, and regardless of whether you understand the Bible the way I do, I don't care who you are or what you teach. I don't care if you're a famous preacher or somebody like me who's just nobody, and I just believe my Bible and I read it and I do my best to understand it and I study the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference if you got a favorite preacher or celebrity preacher or somebody that you think can do no wrong. I can tell you right now, they cannot tell you when he's coming. We can argue over the sequence of events all we want to, but nobody knows the day or the hour. We can see the signs of the time, yes, but we still don't know the day or the hour, do we? So we're told not to be soon shaken in mind, not to be troubled by spirit, by word, nor by letter as from us. Don't get troubled, and let no man deceive you by any means. So those are two things that we need to pay attention to. We don't want to get all worried and fretful and caught up with everything. We want to continue to live the way we're supposed to live. And that's where it goes on. We're not supposed to be deceived. Don't let what's going on around you deceive you. Have you ever noticed when there comes a time of crisis that the preachers come out of the woodwork and of all stripes and fashions, and somebody's always got an idea about this is going to happen or that's going to happen, this is going to be the thing. I mean, it happened back when Russia, communist Russia was there. Now, that's kind of gone by the wayside. Now, I look at these things and I see, from studying history, I can see that these things can come together very, very fast. We don't have to be able to see for 50, 60 years the rise of a state or everything like that. Some things happen extremely, extremely fast. You know, it didn't take very long for Russia to fall apart, did it? And I'll be honest with you, World War II didn't take long to get started either. I mean, World War I or World War II. But World War I in particular didn't take long to get started at all. It got started because I believe it was a Serbian assassinated the Archduke of Austria. And then all of a sudden, they were at war and their allies were at war and then we're all at war. And so we see what happened there, and we see the things that went on. So these things can happen rapidly. You know, it doesn't take decades for this stuff to come together. It can come together rather quickly. And so the one thing about it is, we're supposed to focus on what we're supposed to do. And then he goes on, he gives them the timeline, he gives them what I believe is very clear about what the sequence of events are going to be. That's not a problem. And then he warns that there are going to be people that when this happens, the majority of people are going to be deceived because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then he says that, but we're bound to give, verse 13, he says, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 15, he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He says, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught. Now, they didn't have all of the Bible in their hands. Much of what they were taught was orally, and Paul wrote to them. They didn't have a completed canon of Scripture. They didn't have all of that. But they had the apostles there. They had those that taught them that were faithful. And then they had the Word of God as time went on. And all of those traditions, they weren't extra biblical. They were folded into the Word of God that we have today. Roman Catholicism in particular holds a big thing about tradition. This is one of the verses that they will use to justify traditions. But when those traditions conflict with the Bible, they're wrong. And I don't care how many popes say they're right. They're wrong. All of the traditions that Paul talks about are in this Bible that we hold. And they are there, and they have already been incorporated. So he's saying, stand fast, essentially, and hold the Word of God which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So whether it's been preached to you, or whether it's been written down for you, hold fast onto those traditions. Don't let them go. We don't let the Bible go. So we don't get shook up. We don't get ourselves get all troubled and upset and worried and fretting over everything. We don't let people deceive us. And we hold fast to what we've been taught. We hold fast to the truth. And the more you learn from the Bible, the more you ought to hold fast to it. You ought to hang on to it. You ought to try to retain it. You ought to try to internalize it. You ought to try to make it part of your life. That is what you're supposed to do. That is what we're all supposed to do when it comes to this. And he says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to live as a Christian. We're supposed to be established in every good word and work. That means we're still supposed to not lie. We're still supposed to not gossip and backbite one another. We're still not to speak evil of one another. We're still not to blaspheme God. We're still not to use profanity and all that type of stuff. We're not to have filthy communication out of our mouth. We're to put that stuff away. We're to put all of that type of stuff away. We're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to be faithful to the Lord, faithful to church, faithful to one another, faithful to be witnesses for Christ. We're supposed to be honest, decent, hardworking, all the things that a Christian, the Bible tells a Christian ought to be. We're to be the best husbands, the best wives, the best fathers, the best mothers, the best children, the best grandparents, the best of everything. That's what we're supposed to be. And not best as the world defines best, but the best as God defines them. Everything done as a Christian. So what are we supposed to do in all this? Everybody focuses on the sequence of events and the teaching about that man, the son of perdition, that man of sin, and we talk about him. And I mean, we can talk about it. I've talked about it. I think it's very simple here. All right, if you look at this passage of Scripture and you talk about it, you know, when he starts at the beginning, he says, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together in Him." That's two particular things, that events that take place. One we call the rapture of the church. One we call the coming of the Lord. And he said, that day won't become, the day of Christ's return won't come until the man of sin is revealed. But he won't be revealed until the one that is restraining that, whoso let it will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, he you know what, withholdeth that he may be revealed in his time. God's the one that's restraining. It's the Spirit of God that's intervening in the world. But when God takes the spirit of the world, that influence, out of the world, then you got a problem. And so that's one of the reasons why people look at the rapture of the church being pre-tribulational, because God promised in the book of John very clearly that the Spirit would be in us and He would abide with us always. He would never be gone. So we won't be left. So part of the influence of the Spirit is believers. And so that influence is taken out. So, I mean, we can argue about that till the cows come home. But I think it's pretty clear. And he says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. We know that we also know that through the Scriptures that the time of that we call the tribulation is called in the Old Testament the time of Jacob's trouble, and Israel would be the focus of that time. And God's final redemption of the nation of Israel is all part of that time. We know that. But even if you were listening to this message and say, I don't believe that, preacher. I think you got it all wrong. I think it's a mid-trib rapture. I think it's an all-millennial. I think it's this. I think it's a post-millennial return, whatever you might think. You can think what you want, but one thing the Bible says is you're still supposed to behave like a Christian. Amen. You're not to change. You're not to allow people to deceive you. You're not to get shaken and troubled in your mind. You're not to allow people to deceive you. You're supposed to continue on. And at the end of it, he says, the prayer is that the Lord Jesus Christ and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We are supposed to allow God to comfort our hearts. Now, you cannot receive comfort from God by ignoring Him. You can't receive comfort from God by closing the book and trying to get it by osmosis. It doesn't work that way. If you're going to get comfort from God, you're going to have to read the Bible. You're going to have to study it. And you're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to seek the Lord. And He can comfort our hearts. He can comfort our hearts. And then He can establish us in every good word and work. In every good word and work. What you say, what you do. That's what God wants us to do. You know, we have brothers and sisters in the Lord throughout the entire world that they're living in conditions where they might look at it from their side and say, wow, this is the end time. We're here. But we've been in the end times for a long time. I mean, because it says in 1 John, little children, it is the last time. Can't get any plainer than that, can you? I don't know how long the last time is going to last, but it's already here, folks. I'm simple. I just think the Bible's right. It is the last time. God wasn't lying when He said that. I mean, the way people act throughout history, they act like the Apostle John said that in the book of 1 John, my little children, it is the last time, and you know that Antichrist shall come. And even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that may be made manifest that they were not all of us. It's there, right? In black and white. It's there, clear as crystal. And, you know, throughout history, we're sitting there saying, is it the last time? Is it the last time? Well, of course it is. If you read the Bible. But should you get all shook up and worried and fretting and jump to every new teaching that comes along, or should you just continue living for the Lord, witnessing for the Lord, walking with the Lord? Amen. You know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he knew judgment was coming, didn't he? He just stayed faithful, didn't he? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things to come, not seen yet, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Yeah. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, right? But he walked with God. It was not because God took him. All the way through the Bible, you see people dealing with these same situations all the way through. And it does not change. And I don't know what your situation is, but it seems like there's two errors we have here. We have those who hear something new that's been taught, or somebody makes a point saying, oh, look how this goes to the Bible. And you can get on there. I tell you what, you can get on YouTube and you can look at, I mean, you'll have things on there saying Putin's the Antichrist or Zelensky's the Antichrist or Biden's the Antichrist. For a while, Trump was the Antichrist. Obama was the Antichrist. And he goes on and on and on. These people, they throw this stuff out there and people jump on it. Oh, get all upset and everything like that. And I'm understanding that. And you know what? They end up getting hurt because their faith gets hurt because it doesn't pan out. Then you got a whole other group of people who are just kind of like, well, yeah, I know it's supposed to be the end times and everything like that, but I'm not gonna worry about it. It's not. I don't really care. I'm going about my business. I'm doing it. No, you're not supposed to be about your business. You're supposed to be about God's business. That's the point. We adopt the position. So many people that profess the name of Christ, they adopt the position of the I'm trying to think of the proper word for it. Not a skeptic, but the position of the false prophet, I guess. They get all worried about that and everything. And then the others adopt the position of the skeptic. Okay? You get all in a tizzy, is the one error. You get all troubled, you get all worried, you get all off kilter and everything, you get bad teaching, and now you got to come back and try to recover yourself, or at best, you have to try to recover yourself and get back biblically grounded and understand the truth. Worst case, you sit there and you, like so many, you just give up because you've been burned, you know, because somebody lied to you or didn't tell you the truth or it didn't pan out. And you think, now you're being doubting God whether the Bible's true or not because you've taken this. Or then the other side is you get this point to where you're like, although you wouldn't say it out loud, you might think in your heart or at least behave as if, where's the promise of His coming? You see? And neither one's good. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're not supposed to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. We're not to allow people to deceive us by any means. Because there's certain things that have to happen. By the way, did you know that if you read this chapter, did you see anything where it talked about history or geography or who the world empires were at the time? Did it say anything about any of those? It didn't say a thing about it, did it? It said, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed. He said, remember you not when I was yet with you? I told you these things in verse 5. And then he says, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. Didn't say anything about nations or anything like that, did it? So, the war in Ukraine, a new war in the Middle East, a war with Russia, a war with China, may or may not have anything to do with it. And you can't tell by that. Yep, I know when Armageddon comes, I know all the players that are going to be there. Right? They're spelled out in the Bible. Know all the players that are going to be there. Gog and Magog and all the different areas over there. They're all going to come against Israel, not against us. But none of that has anything to do, I mean, none of these wars or anything that we have anything to do, at least on the surface. I mean, they may have something as far as history moving forward to this point, and I don't know what God's doing and allowing, and so forth like that. Could they have something to do with it? Certainly they could. But can you say definitively, this is what's going to happen, here's your Antichrist, all this? No, you can't. You can't do that. You know, a lot of things are going on, and there's a lot of effort to try to bring this stuff about. There are people that think that way, but... And it may be sooner than we think. I know it's sooner than it was yesterday. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know how much further it's going to be. I just need to know what I'm supposed to do. Don't get stirred up. Don't get shaken in mind and troubled. Don't let anybody deceive you. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught. Hold on to the Word of God and teach it. And allow God to comfort you and allow God to establish you in every work. Allow God, stay where you are and allow God to do the work that He wants to do in you. By the way, if you and I are going to have any part in anything that God wants done, He has to do it through us. He either does it through us or He does it in spite of us. I'd rather be used of God wherever He wants to use me. That's what we have to focus on. So that's what we're supposed to do. Don't get troubled. Don't get shaken in mind. Don't let anybody deceive you. Stand fast on the Word of God. Keep learning. Keep growing. Allow God to comfort you. Keep focusing on the Word of God. And let Him establish you in every good word and work. And that's what we need to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And I just pray You'd help us to just look at it simply and above all, trust You the way we ought to. Help us to open our eyes to the truth of Your Word. Let us see and understand what we need to know in the time that we live so that we can do the work that You want us to do. And Lord, help us to see that the time for that is now. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.